Accession number 20187, Reel 2.
She went there, but they all christened her the Million Dollar Kid. Because, I mean, she didn't have money, you see, but she had to work. And some of them that had to work, like me, at the beginning, you kind of thought that people said, oh, shipping. Some great friends said, it's a den of iniquity.
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't know quite what to expect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, never mind, I'm going to look after those girls. That's going to be mine. I don't care what they say about the place or anything like that. And I'm going to be on my dignity. Nobody's going to down me for it. And that was why I was most anxious to get the Mount Battens to come when I wrote. Nearly got into trouble about that because I got sent off. I got sent off for Sir Robin Rowell, and he said, Mrs. Robinson, have you got something to tell me? I said, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, aren't you expecting a visitor? And of course, I didn't. The letter that you read was at home for me. And of course, I had gone out in the morning. I hadn't even got that letter. Then she was contacting Sir Robin Rowell, and they always stayed with him. So I said, to me it was just a normal thing to do. I was helping the girls.
Yeah.
And you've no idea. I mean, it seems so silly now because everything people can do this. But we hadn't clothes. You couldn't get clothes.
Yeah.
We hadn't. Well, right, come on. I begged, I borrowed all friends I knew. Come on, evening frocks. My girls are going to dress tonight. Sewing machines went into that accommodation. We worked at night.
Yeah.
If you'd seen, there was a girl from Jericho, Nelly Lee. And she was, she was the prettiest of bitch. Lovely girl. And I had her dress in a white evening gown to hand a bouquet of red roses to Lady Louie Mountbatten.
Right.
You know, all of them, and these girls, they really felt they were, you know, you'd put them somewhere. They were as good as anybody else. And to me, it gave me a kick.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, gave me a lot more kick than winning fellowships and things like that because it's come to them, for them.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I really enjoy, like getting them away to the camp for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Right, so you go to camp for the weekend, so what?
Uh-huh.
So what? But in them days, I had the Ministry of Supply to get hold of, to get petrol, didn't I? I had the Ministry of Transport to get hold of, to get the things to get them away on. I had to arrange to get tents and things. It wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy. But we got there and I had a tent on my own and got them all, you know, for the feet to the centre.
Oh, yeah.
They were all huddled together when I went. But some of them had never seen a sunrise before, you know, they were showing it. And when they said, oh, Mrs. Wilkinson, look at that sun, it's the first time I've seen you. That gave me a kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's probably me.
Did any of the women come to you with any kind of particular personal problems? Can you tell me about a few of those?
Well, aren't they rather...
Well, we don't have to record it.
Oh, no.
I mean, you see, if you can tell me that, right, to you. Yes, to you, a personal manager.
Yes. To me, it's you're in between the management and the workers. You keep that company. But the workers must feel that they can come to you and tell you anything, and it's confidential.
Right.
I can honestly say I've never told anybody anything that anybody sent me. I'll show it after. I've got a silver cigarette case in there that the girls have engraved on. To our Mrs. Walkington.
Uh-huh.
Now that killed me.
Yeah.
To our Mrs. Walkington. I was one of them. They thought, and that was it. And it was so good. No, but you get somebody come to you. I'll give you an example. I got a letter from my husband who'd heard how good I was with her.
Uh-huh.
Could I do something with his wife who was coming on? No, I'm beginning that mixture. Could I help him to get his wife back? He admitted to me No, I didn't have it from the man, I got it from the colonel. This colonel. Could I do anything to help these two to get together again? The man was fretting an awful lot. He was very much in love with his wife, very much, and did want her back.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coming on leave and what have you.
Right.
I got hold of the girl eventually and I talked to her like a good chap. And she knew about it, she was fretting. I said, but look, my dear, these things happen in wartime, what have you. He came home on leave. I saw that she didn't work all the time, you know, spent the time.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 months afterwards, she came into my office. I watched her, which is one thing I took up my mind for. And she was in the painting shop. And I just said to the foreman, I never told the foreman, send so-and-so to me at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up. I said, I'm going to take her off the painting. I said, I can see you friendly. I said, I'm thrilled to get to
mm-hmm.
you. I said, nothing could please me more now that you and your husband have got together again. She said, Mrs. Rogan, you must not this. She said, what's good for goose is good for game. And I said, that's the mentality, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And so that was, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Plenty that I did get together, and plenty of such a lot of things happen with girls. They come and they get married. I think they get married. One girl came to me, terrible debt. She'd not been married very long. She got herself into debt. I said, I didn't mind it because all this furniture on the house. I thought, hey, but you don't want to get married, don't you, Mrs. Robinson? You see, they seem to think that's what you do. I had to go to the stores and kind of.
What about going back about the hours? I mean, overtime was compulsory, wasn't it?
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. Women could only work 7 hours. They could only work four and a half hours without a break, which was 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Which was early to go, you know. Mm-hmm. I used to go from South Shields and there 7:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
7:30 in the morning till 12, and then they came up with this accommodation.
Mm-hmm. Like the women had tea breaks, didn't they?
Oh, well, yes, they had them on the job. Sure. They weren't forced to have.
Yeah.
But they... I clipped my eyes.
Mm-hmm. They were unofficial ones.
That's unofficial.
Yeah.
But if you'd given it to them, then the men would have started.
Right.
And then so, you just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You just closed your eyes. Like you did to a lot of things if you were sensible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't... I never liked the girls doing catching. One little girl got a rivet down there.
Yeah.
I never liked that, but we couldn't get the boys in there, so we had to have it. I don't think we'd ever get a very big problem.
What about on the... So you would actually move the girls around from job to job? You could do that?
If they wanted to transfer.
You could move them around... Without them wanting it, then you've got to go.
Oh, well, yes, without the girls, but then you don't do them the ones of it.
Mm.
I mean, if they finish the job and on and they've got to be moved, you try and fit in with them if you can, because it's so simple. You've probably got somebody else doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
If it isn't experienced work, I mean, rather being in the fitting shop, they were doing simple jobs. That was different. Now, the riveting shop, they did a good job. I had two blind girls in there.
Yeah.
Yes, I had two blind girls in there. I had a board made, and the size of the rivets slotted down each.
Mm-hmm.
Down
oh,
each,
yes.
So that they could feel, and the bag at the bottom of each.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you had to kind
yeah,
of bring,
sort
them out, because everything had to be used twice
yeah.
there. And that's how we did it with a board, and slotted every size in a bag at the bottom. And those two girls, they were good.
Mm-hmm.
And the next job I was on, right in Wales, I had deaf and dumb girls.
Mm-hmm.
They were marvellous. They were marvellous. You put them on the benches. You know, we've been...
Mm-hmm.
Young girl here, one here married. This one got a deaf, this one wishing to God she never had one. Put a deaf and dumb between them. Marvellous.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to use a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. So how long were you actually at Leslie's for? From 1942 until?
End of 1942 until the war.
45. 45, it should be 45. Because the war finished, of course. Mm-hmm. And how long after that before? You actually finished when the war finished?
I went to war in these new factories, and I was just the first one.
Right.
And they'd applied to the Ministry for Personnel Manager for the executive department, and I was on it, and I'd already written to them, because I thought I could get my girls a job.
Yeah.
Well, my girls a job.
Because it must have been, I mean, is it said in that one of those articles, you were the first woman personnel manager, well, welfare supervisor?
Well, you see, the thing was, that was what I was engaged at. Mm-hmm. Some said welfare officer, some said supervisor, some said this and the other. But gradually, I joined the institute, and then we got to be known as personnel managers.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I got my fellowship in 1960, I think.
You were a port when you first went?
Yes, I was a hull of the way the men had to sit outside around the hull of a ship, having their, you know, they just get underneath the hull with rain coming down their necks, having the lunches.
Yeah.
And oh, this is terrible, must do something about this, you know. And eventually, of course, they got their own accommodation.
Did you have a kind of sort of brief to erect accommodation, to check out if there was accommodation for the women in the first place? I mean, you had that, was that all built?
Oh, that was built when I went to see before I took the job. Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean, then, if I remember, there wouldn't have been any roads or anything in the shipyard.
Any
kind of roads or...
No, particularly. No, they built them afterwards, didn't they? I remember the day of prayer.
What was that?
Well, it was a national day of prayer.
Uh-huh.
And the band came out. But, of course, the people that could play the instruments properly weren't there.
Uh-huh.
And I've never heard a band with me like it. Playing down the wrong hole, you know. Everybody, but there wasn't a dry eye amongst those men. Mm. I mean,
was that the Leslie's?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the Hawthorne Leslie's?
Yes, that was around the dry dock.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Everybody stood around, work was stopped, and everybody went round the dry dock.
What was it for? It was the day of prayer.
Day of prayer for the turn the war,
uh-huh.
You know.
Right.
National Day of Prayer, of course.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Mm. Oh, you didn't know that?
No. Yes, so the conditions you thought were terrible in the yard.
Oh, well, yes. But then they were all for men. I mean, we'd have to put a top on that new island, said I, you know, because the women's accommodation was upstairs.
Mm.
And you kind of went up these iron staircases, there's a little balcony, and the women looked out near what they see. I had to say, put a lid on that and remove that and please. But everybody was very good in understanding.
Mm-hmm. So you think that men, those kind of conditions, I mean the whole idea of women going into work like that though is, I mean,
they've never had it so clean.
Uh-huh.
The men have never had it so clean. I mean, even down to, I remember going in the plumber shop one morning, and Mrs., the one that was 56, I forget the name. Mrs. Mundy. She used to clean everything up just like a house. And she used to bring flowers and put a bouquet of flowers on the side, you know.
So you think that was just, that it's not just a bit... do you think it was right for women to go and work in the shipyard? So, I mean, do you think they should be allowed to work in the shipyards anyway, even in peacetime?
Well, you're talking to somebody now who thinks women are better at home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, well, I expect a gentleman to offer me a seat.
No.
You can't have your cake and eat it.
No, I see, yeah, I see.
Equal pay for equal work,
mm-hmm.
equal hours,
mm-hmm.
equal condition.
Mm-hmm.
But this women ruling men
mm-hmm.
and taking authority from them, to me, I'm not for. Because as I say, I like a gentleman to look after a lady, and you can't have your cake and eat it.
Mm-hmm. Is that not down that maybe what the women want is not taking authority, it's sharing authority?
Well, this is what they say, but I think a lot of the conditions in the world today are because the women aren't at home. I mean, there's nobody at home when the children come from school.
Yeah.
Now, home environment to me is very, very important. Of course, I'm not a lady, I'm old fashioned, but there you are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I don't agree with that because I think there's a lot of time when women weren't there, even at the time when more of your contemporaries. You know what I mean? Because I've talked to women who weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's much more of a mythology that women were always in the home in the past.
Oh yes, yes. Oh yes. In all sections.
Oh.
I mean, I know that people will say, "I would never play bridge. I suffered so much as a child because my mother was always out there."
Oh. Yeah.
Mm. So there you are. I don't say I'm right,
mm-hmm.
but I mean that's the way I feel.
Right. You found out. Well, what did you feel about that? You've gone into a man's world.
Men weren't what I thought they were, because I always thought men were above gossip.
Uh-huh.
But I found more gossip from men than I have done from any woman.
Mm-hmm. What do you?
Storytelling and all
yeah.
this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You don't expect it from them.
What did you expect from them?
Well, to me, probably what I was wrong.
It was always
be quiet. Be quiet when the father comes in, you know, the what was that old-fashioned idea, and there we are. I'm not saying it's right.
Was your father very strict?
No, not all that.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's contradiction. My father wasn't used to that. Wonderful. But with mother, it was girls.
So you found out. So how did that change your attitude to men? Did you sort of
well, pettiness. I didn't think men were petty.
Yeah.
You know, because little things that didn't matter, petty little things.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I always thought men were bigger.
Beyond that sort of thing.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that did surprise me. It was the same with the right and wheels. I used to go in very early in the morning. I didn't need to. But I used to say, it isn't the personnel that don't start, it's the foreman.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you'd go in and I'd just walk around the factory just to let them know you were there, because they were all in a huddle together, talking about what they'd done the night before and what had happened and all the rest of
that's
them.
That's the foreman.
That's the people in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't run workers down like
mm-hmm.
that, because it isn't them. They say, oh, they won't start. Of course they would start if they were told
mm-hmm.
to start and
mm-hmm.
did the job correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very interesting thing, because I mean, it's kind of what workers do say about bosses.
Yes. It is,
they're calling mm. fossils and they're just the same.
Of course they are, they do the same thing.
Right.
So I can't never agree with them. And the shipyard had nothing to do with it, because that was all done just before I started. Boards there, they didn't have timesheets, did they? And boards and stuff. But in the factory when they're clocking in, right, agree with them clocking in, but why the deuce should they clock out? I mean, on a clock, there's so many clocks, 3 or 4 minutes of the time, and gone clocking out. I didn't agree with it at all. I got in my top of the issue.
So you just walked out?
Well, if a foreman's in charge of so many men, or women, it's up to him that they don't leave there before time, isn't it? It's his responsibility.
Yeah.
It isn't the responsibility in understanding a clue of human clock.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've got it. I'm not.
Oh.